Praise God. I appreciate that, Brother Stephen. And it's a message that we all need. And I know that many times because of your own experiences in your life, you feel like you're different from everybody else, but the reality, we keep telling you, you're not. We are everyone made of the same stuff, and regardless of what the particular circumstances are, we need the same Savior. We have exactly the same need, and He's working in every one of us, and we're experiencing the same things you are in different ways. It's amazing how many times I come to a men's meeting, and what I have on my heart is already there, and it's being expressed. I think it was more so today than usual, but I'm trusting the Lord this morning more than usual, I think, and that's a good thing. Because I believe the Lord is wanting His people to be set free, to be able to live for Him and serve Him in this time. You know, last week we talked about Satan's dream and God's purpose. And kind of toward the end, we got to a point where I was saying something to the effect that God has allowed us, He has ordained that you and I live now. We weren't assigned to the 1800s or to some other period of history. God has us alive now, and it's for a reason. And I believe we are coming closer and closer to the end of the age. I don't have any dates for you. God told us just to be ready, didn't He? He didn't say we're going to know those times. We will know the times and seasons, and I believe we can see the way things are shaping up. But I don't know what all God has. But I do know that he wants a people who are alive and awake, able to, as we've heard in the past, make the midnight cry and say He's coming, be ready. But also, He's not done sharing the gospel with people and reaching out and changing hearts and lives. There will come a time when that voice will cease, people will have made up their mind, and the Scripture in Revelation will be fulfilled where the voice said, "Let him that is, without sinful be sinful still." I'm paraphrasing. "Let him that's righteous be righteous still." There's going to come a time when everybody will be in one camp or the other. But I believe with all my heart, God is reaching out, and I believe the things that Brother Stephen shared and shared downstairs and others did as well are very, very central to that. There's a scripture that I'm going to get to that I thought about last week, and I realized after I sat down, hey, I meant to use that scripture. Well, that's kind of the one that comes back now, because it has to do with this very thing about God's people being here for a purpose and a reason, that it's not just happenstance. And the kingdom of God does not consist of the ministry and the people as though you're just digits sitting there listening. God has a place in His kingdom for every single believer. And He wants us to learn how to enter into that. Christianity has been institutionalized. It's been turned into man-made traditions and organizations where we have this structure and everybody just learns how to fit into the structure and do the stuff, believe the doctrines. God wants to set His people free, not just to run here and there, but to be free to follow Him. You know, I've said many times, Jesus didn't do things the same way twice. We tend to do them the same way 1,000 times. But I believe the Lord's helping us, don't you? Because we don't want to jump in the other ditch and everybody run off doing their own thing and it's just us doing it. That's the other side of it. But I believe with all my heart there has to be a foundation. And I guess the scriptures that we've used so many times, but they're needful. There's not a person here who knows the Lord who doesn't fight the battles that Stephen describes. Every single one of us fights. And whether it's a particular thing in our past or a thing we're dealing with today, we are in need of salvation in some fashion every single day. Now, being born again, that's a one-time thing, but I'm talking about the growing and the changing and the things that God needs to do in our lives. I don't know anybody here that's arrived. I certainly haven't. And I discover things more and more that the Lord has to deal with. But the thing is, if we ever forget the foundation, man, it's a rough battle. How many know what I'm talking about? If you forget who you really are in Christ and what he has done, and that begins to be compromised in the slightest in your mind, then there's an issue. There is room for the devil to work. And the way he typically does that is not to say, oh, that's not true. He just says, that's not true of you. Because. And then he will enumerate his arguments. And God wants a people to come to the place where we put all of our hope in Jesus, period. End of story. That stain ain't coming back. Once the bleach goes in, the stain is gone. God has thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. And you know you've heard the expression, don't go fishing in the sea of forgetfulness. God has forgotten the things that are a part of that he has cleansed. And thank God he did it. Anyway, I'm just going to go ahead and read some of this scripture that we're so familiar with in Ephesians. How many times have we heard this? But how many times do we need to hear this? I need this morning, do you? Anybody here? Yeah. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. Now, I want to stop and say, don't you have this gospel for everybody else but not for me in your mind when you read words like this? Us means us. Paul is talking. Now, think about for a minute who Paul is that's writing this. Think about his past. Now, he declared by the inspiration of the Spirit that he was the worst sinner ever. So don't you think of yourself that way. That title has already been taken, and God saved him and turned him into a mighty servant of God. God can do anything because it's not our power, it's not our virtue, it's not anything that's in us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Everything comes out of, you see that? You get the sense of that, that everything comes out of his heart. Not one part depends upon us. Thank God. Comes from him, doesn't it? All right, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have, that's a present tense possession, folks, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance or in agreement with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Wow, Paul just struggling for words there, isn't he? You look in the original, this is a run-on sentence if there ever was one. He just doesn't know how to end the sentence. With all wisdom and understanding, oh, I'm glad he understands, don't you? Aren't you? And he knows how to figure out every problem. The ones that cause us such trouble. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, based upon his good pleasure, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth in Christ. Wow. I don't see anything in there that depends on some virtue in me or some knowledge, some ability, some anything. This comes from the heart of our Creator. God, help us to reckon on that and remember and include ourselves in all the us's of this passage. I'm preaching to me as well as to you. Praise God. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we, where's he going with this? In other words, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory, certainly not for ours, We have nothing to boast about, do we? And you were included in Christ. Now, this is an experiential, the experiential side of it. You know, we see the heart of God before time, but there has to come a point in history when this becomes personal. And I'll ask, has it become personal with you? If it hasn't, this needs to be the one thing you're concerned about. Praise God. And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel, or the good news of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Praise God. Simply put, that means if you're His, if you've really been born of His Spirit, God put a mark on you that no devil can counter. That mark says, that one's mine. Devil, you can't have him, you can't have her. I'm guaranteeing not only their present, where they're at right now, but I'm guaranteeing how this is turning out. See, that's all. That's, we've got to see this through God's eyes. That's why Paul is expressing this. He longs to see the Ephesian church share the vision of the reality of what God had given to him. Praise God. All right? To the praise of His glory. And then, of course, his prayer. I'm not going to read all of this, but the prayer that he has, that God would open their wisdom and give them the understanding that they needed to really appreciate the power of God that is available to be at work in us. What is that power? What do you compare it to? How do you see it in action? Well, what Paul says is we see the power of God in action by what happened when Jesus was in that tomb and all hell meant to keep him there. And all hell couldn't do it. Folks, all hell can't steal you from Jesus if you belong to him. Do you belong to him? If you've given him your heart and your life, that's the key. But all the power that God expressed, not just to bring him out of a tomb, give him a new life, a life that cannot die, but he didn't leave him there. He caused him to be ascend into the heavens and to sit on a throne. I'm sure I don't think it's a chair sitting in heaven somewhere, but whatever it is, it's a place of authority. Jesus, we've quoted this so many times, where Jesus said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And that's where he says, go therefore. So everything flows from the heart and the purpose of God accomplished at the cross and made known to us. Folks, if you are building your life on anything else, you're building on sinking sand. If we are sort of acknowledging this in a vague sense, but not really embracing it as this applies to me, I was one of the ones God was thinking about all back there. Oh my. If we're going to be the people of God in this hour, we've got to get the foundation right, because God said in the prophets he was laying a foundation in Zion. And this was a sure foundation. This was not like the religion that was prevalent in the day, that just a bunch of man-made rules. This was God's foundation, and those who put their trust in that would never come to ruin, never be ashamed, never come to the place where say, boy, I was a fool to trust in that. Man, we're going to have our eyes so open one day that we will just fall down in amazement at the mercy and the grace of God, what he's done for us. So anyway, but the thing that always gets me out of this particular passage, I'm going to get to the next one, but the thing that always gets me, he comes down to the end and he talks about the power that he expressed through Christ and what he's done. And then he says, basically, he did all that for you. He wants you to know that that power that's in him is available to us. May God help us to avail ourselves of it and believe it. I guarantee there's not a person here who knows the Lord who isn't struggling with something in your life. Yeah. Let's just be honest. We need the Lord. Amen. And I pray the scripture that Brother Stephen read in Romans 6. God has given us a place where we can walk in newness of life. But we need to get this. God needs to reveal it to our hearts in a deeper way so we can actively believe it and receive it. You know, it is a process, isn't it? We know that. But God, we need to see the foundation, so we constantly go back to that and realize, hey, I'm on a foundation. I don't care. The winds or waves are blowing. The doubts are coming. The devil's trying to flood my mind with this and with that, but my foundation stands sure because I didn't place it. I didn't build this foundation. This isn't philosophy I came up with to make me feel better. This is something God did. The greatest power in the universe. The only real power in the universe. Okay, so where were we from a real experiential standpoint when the gospel came to us? Did he go out and look for good people? Yeah, there are no good people. Not by God's standard. As for you, chapter 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead is kind of a serious condition, isn't it? This is not somebody who can help themselves. This isn't a deal where God says, here are the principles, here are the rules, you follow these and everything will be good. Your life will be better and you'll have a purpose in life. This is somebody who is so far gone, so out of, beyond help, they're dead. As far as the purposes of God are concerned, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. When you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's what we're seeing in the world. It's taken over. All of us, now Paul's including himself, isn't he? All of us also lived among them at one time. Now, I don't care if you grew up in this church and you're a good person. Again, there are no good people by the true standard. But sometimes that can mask your need. If you have a real past and you've been out there, you know there's an appreciation for what God has done for you. I mean, I grew up in the providence of God. I grew up in a preacher's home. That doesn't make me any better than anybody else. I have the same nature, the same need. But you know, sometimes you can grow up and not realize your need. You know, the greatest thing God can do for you is to let you fall in the mud sometimes until you see, oh my God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I pray if that's you, if you don't know your need, that God will show you out of His love and mercy. Show you you need what we're talking about this morning, because you do. The world is full of people who've said no. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That's one of the big biggies that the world is after. Oh, if it feels good, do it. Follow it. And following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. That is a pretty good description of the condition of the world. Now, I know there's a time when people come along in ignorance, but I'll tell you, there's a time when God shines the light one way or another upon a heart, and that's when people begin to be truly responsible. I'm going to let God sort all that out, but I know that there is the condition of the human heart is beyond our ability to understand. I don't think we really get it, particularly if we've grown up in a comfortable environment and we hear the word of God and we sing the songs. We just don't have any idea what's really going on here. But I'll tell you, this is a desperate, desperate, needy world. And it's only God that can do anything about it. But because, what is the cause of what He's doing? Because of His great love for us, not because He found something good in us. He didn't. Not because He saw potential in us. Oh, if I recruit that one, they can help me out in my kingdom. My God, we have nothing but ourselves to give to Him. Nothing. There is nothing that I could possibly present and say, Lord, here it is. I'll trade this for eternal life. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. You want mercy or justice? I need mercy. I need mercy. Thank God. What did he do? He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Who did all this? Suppose God had just stood back and let events play out. There is not a single person who's here or who may ever hear this, not one single person who would ever escape the condition that prevails in this world. And the end of that condition is death. That's it. And you wouldn't even know it. You would think you were living for some valid purpose. I'm trying to make myself something. I'm following my desires. I'm trying to be happy. And you have no idea what's going on. But God intervened. Thank God he is the one who took the initiative, because without his initiative, we would have nothing. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And I've got to put this in, because I've seen over the years, I feel like grace has been misunderstood as just a kindly accepting attitude on God's part. Grace is God's intervention. His grace is what works on my heart to make me aware of my need. It's the influence and the power of His Spirit at work in my life. You can call it grace because I don't deserve it, but grace is a real force that invades my life, convicts me, and then not only convicts me, it gives me the power to believe. I don't even have the power to do that. That's why the Scripture says, today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. That's the only answer, because if God stops dealing with a heart, you don't have the power to do it. You don't even want to, let alone would you have the power if you did. I need God's help. The only answer that exists is for God to invade my life, show me my need, empower me to believe. Now, he doesn't overpower my will if I'm hard-hearted and resist him. You can do despite to the grace of God. But oh, praise God that he has the will and the heart and the motive and the love that brings him to that place of reaching down to me, because I don't deserve it. I could never deserve it. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us. This is past tense, folks. We don't see ourselves the way God does. God has put us in a place that we don't see. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. For why? Why did He do that? In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Man, this isn't going to end. Ages to come. I don't have any idea what God's planned, but I know it's going to be good. And I know there won't be any sin, there won't be any death, there won't be any sorrow or sickness or age or anything else. It's going to be exactly what God wants, and we will walk with Him in white because He has done it. He has done it, folks. Are you relying on that in a practical sense, or is this just doctrine? This has got to get beyond doctrine with every single one of us, that God has laid a foundation that you and I can stand upon, and our sins can be gone. End of them. God is the one who's put them away. He's not asking me to do something to qualify myself. He qualified me. That's what Paul said in Colossians. Jesus is the one who qualified me. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. What's the gift of God? Faith? Think about that. Yeah, we think of salvation, but faith, the very faith that I need to exercise in order to be saved, God has to give that to me. Oh, wow. This sounds a lot like surrender, doesn't it? Since I don't have any of this, I'm going to have to come to God based upon mercy My nature wants me to deserve something so I can feel good about myself. And God has fixed it to where if we know Him, we're going to have to come on His terms. And it's by mercy. That's the only claim that I have. God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. You remember how Jesus spoke about this in the temple one day? I don't know if He's in the temple or just talking about the temple, but He talked about a Pharisee who came in there to pray. He said, Lord, I thank You. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not, you know, I do all this. I fast twice a week. I tithe all of my, you know, I do all this. I give to the poor. And I'm not like that old tax collector over there. And the tax collector was so convicted of his need, he didn't even lift up his eyes and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was Jesus' point? Which one did God hear? He heard the cry of that man who came with an honest heart and said, God, I have no claim upon You. I come because You have offered me mercy. God loves mercy. Well, that message is all the way through the Old Testament. Praise God, and certainly through the New. All right, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And most of the time, when people quote this scripture, that's kind of where they stop. But I want to tie this in because the next verse is the one that I forgot to use last week, and I think the Lord is the one that caused me to forget it. Because here we are being called to live for God in a particular time in history. How do we do that? And this is the answer. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Man, that doesn't sound a bit like religion to me, does it to you? This is something that is, it's just apart from Christianity, churchianity. I believe we need to get a handle on this. And the thing that I sensed out of what we talked about this morning is God has got to lay the foundation. If we're constantly going back to what He saved us from as though that somehow disqualifies us from any of this, man, that's a burden God never meant for us to carry because Jesus carried that burden to the cross. It's gone. Oh, may God help us to get that, to believe it, to see it, to understand that He set us free from the past. And He set us free for a reason. But how in the world am I fit to do anything? Well, I'm God's handiwork. Are you His handiwork? Is he working on you? He's got a lot to change, doesn't He? You know, you see that imagery in the Scripture about Him being the potter and us being the clay. You remember a message I preached years ago about be the clay? How contrary that is to human nature just to say, God, I don't know. You're the one who made me. You made me different from everybody else. My experiences are different. My personality is different. But my purpose in the kingdom is unique. There's no one else exactly like me, thank God. But you're the one who knows the reason You created me in the first place. You know. And I don't even know I don't know what to do, let alone how to do all that. God, You're going to have to do the changing. And so you see where Romans 12 comes in. Present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship, act of worship. And then the change begins. Allow Him to renew us by the renewing of our mind. And then that leads right into the passage about the function of the body of Christ, doesn't it? But this is the thing. We're God's handiwork. And we're going to have to learn how to let Him work. And you know, if God's going to do some sculpting on you, doesn't that mean He's going to have to do some cutting and some things that aren't going to always be comfortable? And how easily does every one of us fall into the trap of supposing that if things aren't going rosy, according to our definition of that, and, you know, if God loved me, things would be different. No, because He loves me, He's going to work on me and change the things that don't fit His purpose for my being, for my existence. How easily do we listen to the voice of the devil when we don't feel good and things don't look good, and we say, God's mad at me, God's, you know, this or that. Every one of us fights that battle. May God help us to so be grounded on the foundation and to learn how to stand in those times and say, God, Your word is true, and I am trusting You with this circumstance. I know You love me. I know You're working in me things that I don't even understand, but I surrender, Lord. You have my full permission to change me any way that I need changing. That's a dangerous prayer. He just might answer that. But if we're going to fulfill the purpose for which we exist, is there any other way to get there? Think of what God has to work with when He starts. A lost, helpless, hopeless, blind sinner. And yet, because of His love and mercy, He reaches down to the guttermost and brings us to the uttermost. And then He begins to shape us for that purpose. You know, we've talked about these things so many times. You see it all through the Scripture with the major characters of Scripture, Moses and Joseph and others, that God had these tremendous purposes for, and what He had to do to shape those vessels to get them ready for that. You and I, don't we need to have that sense of a vision? Lord, I'm here for a reason, and I want to know what that reason is, and I want You to do whatever it takes so that I can fulfill that. I can be a vessel for Your use. Now, God hasn't called everybody to preach. You know, we have this idea of what it means to serve God. Every one of us, as we've said so many times, is a servant of God. And sometimes the most powerful, important thing anybody can do is to pray. Prayer is not giving a list to Santa Claus in the sky. Prayer is something where we learn over time, and by experience we learn how to yield ourselves to the inspiration of God's Spirit, who knows what we need to pray for. And then when we do that, when we yield to that, and we begin to speak by as God anoints, we don't just need anointing here, we need anointing in prayer. When we do that, God can take you and cause you to affect something that happens on the other side of the world. There is power. There's divine power that's released. You don't think that matters? That's at the heart of the kingdom of God. If God has called you to be a prayer warrior, you may be just one of the most important people in this place. But just speaking to somebody, just the interactions, I've heard so many lately that have just blessed me so much, how God is causing us to break the mold. We have this idea of just coming in here and sitting and going and living our lives. God, break that. God, show us why we're here. Give us a vision of what it is that You want to do and how You want to do it, and make us willing and make us able to do it. But Lord, I'm going to have to be Your handiwork and be willing. You're going to have to do this because it's not in me to do it. But what is it that makes this possible? It's not just that God has done away with our past. It's not like, okay, now you got a fresh slate. I've wiped your guilt away. Now let's start over. Well, if I just start over with what I had to begin with, that ain't going to get it. I need something brand new. And so that's why He goes on and says, created. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Man, I need to be a brand new creation. I need a new life. I need a new heart. That's the heart of the gospel. Anything short of that is not the gospel. There's nothing that I brought into this world that I can take and say, all right, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to use these abilities, and I'm going to help Your kingdom out. I need to be a brand new person, and only God can do that. Are you willing? Lord, help me to see what You have done in me, and to realize, to reckon on the reality. You read Romans 6 that Stephen was reading a while ago, and you'll read how we went down and something was left in that tomb. We rose up to newness of life so that we're able to serve Him. There is a new life here that we need to reckon on. We don't reckon on it enough. We still reckon the old is there. And so we live like that. Every one of us. I'm talking to me. But God is teaching us. He's working in us. We're His handiwork. I pray that we're further along this week than we were last. I pray that God is continually teaching us, and I see the evidence of it in so many lives. I praise Him for it. But oh, may God give us a vision of what it takes to serve Him in this hour. We're going to have to be His handiwork. We're going to have to walk in the newness of the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's where the good works come from. They're not good if they don't come from Him. If I'm being religious, is that good? No. That's just that self-righteous, do-gooding. There's a whole lot of things that, you know, you could say they have a beneficial effect in a sense temporarily on an earthly life. But, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the fact that we can't do anything of any eternal value unless it's Him doing it in us. Do you believe that? I do. There's nothing I can do to help Him out. I need to allow Him to do it in and through me. Again, you come back to what Jesus did. Did He do anything that He didn't see His Father doing? Do you see where we need to be? We need to be a people that say, God, I want to be in tune with what You are doing. You're the one who has a purpose. You are the one who is working out a sovereign purpose. You're going to reach every one of yours. Jesus Christ said, I will build My church. That's a pretty positive statement. All of these things, we have a part to play in that. I don't know fully what my part is. I mean, it appears that I'm to be here doing this at this point. Some of you, God's going to lay His hand upon you. He's already done it in varying measure. But this isn't all there is. How can we be in a place where we say, God, I'm beginning to get a picture of how Your kingdom works. There is a sovereign purpose that you planned before the foundation of the world. He knew about this service back then. Do you understand that? Do you understand how great He is? He knew who was going to be here this morning. He planned it all out. I want to get in harmony with that. I want to be able to say, God, show me what You're doing and show me my place in that and enable me to cooperate with You in whatever way I need to. Now, some people, you'll give a message out like this and I say, yes, that's what I've been waiting for. I'm an apostle after all. I'm going to go out and, you know. And what you have is a whole lot of selfish ambition and vain deceit and all those kinds of things that you see the words in the Scripture. I believe God can show us who we are and what we are, and it will be right. You remember Brother Thomas many years, some of you will remember way, way back, Brother Thomas would preach a message on finding your place in the body. Do you think we can ask Him and say, Lord, what's my purpose? What's my place? Show me what You have. Show me why You created me. Because it's not just to sit here, believe doctrines, carry out activities, and go to heaven someday and basically live my life on the. It's not that. God has a reason for me being here. What is it? I want to be engaged in that. I want to be one of these that can actually shine a light in a dark world that's going to get a whole lot darker. Your purpose for me might be to be a martyr. But are we here to preserve our lives? Or have we laid them down to belong to Him? See, that's the gospel. If there's anything short of that, if you're clinging to that old life from which He saved you, that's not a good thing. We need the newness of His life. And here's the amazing thing, the last part of that, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, God knew in eternity past who you are. He allowed you to experience what you've experienced. He reached down in grace to lift you out of the condition and change your destiny. But He has a reason for your being here that He knew about back then. You are not a nobody. You are not a digit. You are not simply a number sitting in a pew. You are God's child, And God wants his people to call out to him and say, God, why am I here? I want to know and I want to surrender my life to you to make me what you want me to be, Lord. Sometimes it means just waiting. I know many of you have heard the Brother Thomas's testimony of years ago. When he started out in his ministry, he was a powerful evangelist with a tremendous anointing on his life. And circumstances changed. He wound up here shepherding a bunch of you, some of you older ones. I see some smiles. It was a long time ago. And one day he was sitting there thinking, God, what's wrong? Back there, you blessed me. There was power. I went out and I saw results. And here I am sitting here shepherding a bunch of sheep. And not all of them even appreciate it. What's wrong? Did I go off the rails somewhere? Am I out of your will? What's going on? And that's when the Lord quickened to him that scripture about what the Lord said to Peter. When you were young, you girded or you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. But when you're old, you'll stretch forth your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. Now, I don't recall from the experience, the testimony that Brother Tom, that anything dramatic changed right then. It did later, didn't it? The Lord visited the church in a mighty way. But Brother Thomas's place at that time was simply to humble himself and do what God gave him to do in the moment and just wait, because God was working. He was God's handiwork. There were things that God can only do when we're just waiting on him and looking to him and willing, but not running in ourselves, not thinking, I got to do something. That got to do something is just another way of trying to earn it. I just need him to show me what to do and be willing when he says it. It gets down to something that's awfully simple, but it's so contrary to human nature that we have a hard time getting it. But think of the reality, because you can talk about the grace being saved, not by works and all of that, but if we don't see where God's going with this, we're missing the point. God did that for a reason, to get us to a point where we could stand upon that foundation and be the people he designed us before the creation of the world to be in a dark world. It's not just about believing in Jesus and going to heaven. He's got works planned for us to do. Do you think he planned all that Moses went through? You think God had some wonderful things in mind when Moses had to run off into the wilderness and hide from Pharaoh and wait 40 years? God had plans Moses didn't know about. And God was getting him ready for that. And you think God had plans when David was running around the wilderness hiding? Yeah, God had plans. God has plans for you and you and you and you and me. And I agree with what I've heard Stephen say several times this morning. We want to finish well. But finishing well is not running in self-zeal. Finishing is saying, God, I'm yours. I've reached a point in my life, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and try to get a committee and plan something. But I want to be open. Lord, I want to think outside the box. I want to be open to anything you might bring us to do. I don't know. Now, you know, men would say, yeah, we need to innovate. We need to get a committee. Let's come up with a program. No, we don't need it. We just need to hear from heaven. And we need to exercise it, and we need to do what he gives us to do with the ability that he gives us to do it, and it will be him doing it instead of us trying to help him out. He doesn't need our help, but he longs to involve us. You remember a message we had years ago, participating in his purpose? Seems like the Lord brings that thought back in so many ways, to me, to all of us. Do you see where we need to be rock solid on the foundation? If you're struggling with the foundation, how in the world is verse 10 going to amount to anything? I'm constantly, oh, that means somebody else but me. I couldn't be that. Jesus Christ has paid it all. Every last thing that needed to be paid, he paid. Amen. Yes. Our sins are gone. May God help us to get that and rest upon the foundation and trust Him for the strength of a new life to live for Him. But in the meantime, Lord, we could be asking, why am I here? What is my place? Show me what your purpose is for me. I certainly can be praying. I can be looking to you. I'm not going to run around trying to do something. But Lord, if you show me, if you lay a burden on my heart, help me to follow that. And help me to walk in harmony with the body, because you can have some wild hair thing going on in your own head. I mean, we know how the devil works. But see, there's a safety in the body of Christ where we can say, yeah, I sense that. The Lord's witnessing to me, a witness of peace. I don't know. I don't know why I'm preaching this, in a sense. I don't have anything particular in mind. But I have this in mind, that I know God, again, put us here for a reason. We're here for a reason right now. And I pray that God will lay upon every single one here the burden of saying, God, I want to know why I'm here. I'm not here to live out my earthly life. I'm here to live out the life you gave me, the brand new life. As long as you leave me in this world, I'm here for a reason. Help me to find and experience that reason so you have a vessel through whom you can live in a broken world. Is there any other reason to live? There's no other reason to live. May God give us that grace to humble ourselves, to allow ourselves to be His handiwork without listening to the voice of the devil when it's not pleasant. And then realize God's put a brand new life in here. Oh, praise God. He's not trusting in my ability to live for Him. He gave me a brand new heart and a new life. That's what the gospel is all about. So thank God. I guess I'm going to go rambling here in a minute, but do you see how this ties in with things the Lord has said lately? We're here for a reason. Let's set our hearts to discover that reason and walk in it and just trust God. Do you think He's going to be faithful to that? Do you think that's what He's revealed in His Word? I know it is. Let's just trust Him. Like I say, think outside the box. Don't put limits on it. Say, oh, it's got to fit in with our style. It needs to fit in with His program. Praise God. To God be the glory.